He is alive. Before we get all wrapped up in the Word and whatnot, which is a good thing, okay? It's a good thing to be wrapped up in the Word. But before we get all settled down, I've just got something I got to get off my chest. All right, I know. How many of you like sporting events? How many of you like football, basketball, baseball, swimming, lacrosse, badminton, whatever it is, NASCAR? You know, there may be a crazy guy out there that likes NASCAR or something. But how many times, well, let me even take it a step further. How many have kids that are in sports or have had kids that are in sports? All right? When they do something well out there and you're proud of them, do you just go, "Oh, how sweet. That's my boy. That's my girl." Is that how you do that? Or do you get up and you go, "Woo! Good job!" I tell you what, for the next 20 seconds, Jesus did more than hit a home run. Jesus did more than kick an extra point through the field goal. Jesus did more than win the Brickyard 400, even bigger than the Daytona 500, if you're that kind of guy. What Jesus did for us is so much bigger than all of that. Can we just take just 25 seconds or whatever and just pretend like we're going nuts and pretend like he really did something big for us and just praise, take a praise break like a, "Woo!" Guess what? That's what church is like. And I tell you, when I get up to heaven, these old knees that don't work that great, they're going to get busy jumping, hollering, hooping. I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to tell you what now. Thank you. You may be seated. I had to get that off my chest because, folks, when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is something that is worth celebrating. That's not something that's worth, we go back and go, "Oh, that was so nice." No, this makes all the difference in the world, folks. Makes all the difference in the world. If you have your Bibles, turn to Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read kind of a large section to us today. This is Paul writing. And how many of you thought I was going to be preaching, when you found out what I was going to be preaching on, thought I was going to be preaching out of one of the Gospels, the events of the resurrection and all that? Well, surprise. 3 a.m. No ordinary church. Verse 12 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, says this: "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." But. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. No more enemies to be defeated. You see, Jesus has already even defeated Satan. The devil just doesn't know it yet, but he's already defeated. Actually, he does know it. He's just trying to drag as many people down as he can. You ever known somebody that, I mean, their ship's going down, right? Things are going crazy, and they just want to drag as many people down because misery loves company, right? Well, that's the old devil. He wants to drag as many people down as he can with him. But Jesus says, you don't have to. You don't have to. I've already won it. The victory is yours. Just claim it. Everything about our faith hinges on this single event. The birth of Jesus is super important, folks. It had to fulfill prophecy that he would be born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he would suffer. Isaiah prophesied that he would be bruised and he would hang on a tree, and that the sins would be of the world would be placed on his shoulders. And all of that had to happen. He had to be crucified on a tree. He had to be spat upon and beaten and whipped and all those horrible, nasty things. He had to be crucified. He had to be buried in a tomb. But then he also went above and beyond and was raised from the dead. And like in verse, if we don't believe the resurrection, if it did not happen, then what we preach is foolishness. Okay? We're a bunch of nuts. We're a bunch of crazy folks for believing in such a thing if it did not happen. But, verse 20 says, but Christ has indeed been risen from the dead. Now the Gospels in the book of Acts, they give some of the accounts. You can put all that together and come up with the accounts of over 500 people who saw the resurrected Lord. And that he was not simply a spirit, but he ate, drank, and was touched and held and in every other way, fully alive human being. Okay? Resurrected. Resurrected. Why is it important that we believe in the resurrection? By being raised from the dead, Jesus conquered even death. He conquered death. By his defeat of death, he won our victory over death also. So today, a little bit later on, I'll be preaching a funeral service for Margaret Morgan. Some of you may not know that she passed away this last week. And I'll be preaching her funeral service at 2 o'clock. She's loved and she'll be missed. However, guess what? Christ also won her victory over that death by his resurrection. It's because of the resurrection that Paul, when he made the comment, he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He wished for that. He said, I wish that I could be absent from my body and present with the Lord. And there's hope and assurance because of the resurrection. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. There's hope. And it's all because of the resurrection. The cross is well known, and it's a well-known symbol of our faith, of Christianity. How many of you have some piece of jewelry or some decoration in your house that has a cross on it or something like that? Maybe you have a sticker on the back of your car with a little Jesus fish or a cross or something like that. The cross is a symbol of our faith, okay? And we have a cross. We used to have one back here, but we have one from time to time, and it's always an empty cross, okay? If you're Catholic, typically the crucifix has Christ on the cross. I prefer to have an empty cross because he didn't stay there. He's not there anymore. But nonetheless, he spent time there, died there. They took him down, put him in the tomb, and guess what? He didn't stay there either. What I love, what's so cool about this is you know, when you families had tombs and they would bury, let me give you just a quick detail. They would take the bodies and they would wrap them up, put them in spices. They would put them in these tombs, in these cave things, and seal them up. And then after the natural decay has taken place, they would come in, they would gather up the bones that were left, and they would put them in a smaller box, and they would go and they would bury that thing in the box. And then the next time that tomb was needed, they would put somebody else's body in that tomb. And it was like that. But that family owned the tomb. Guess what? Jesus didn't need to own a tomb. He said, I'm only going to borrow it because I only need it for just a little while. I think that's so cool the way God did that. Nah, we don't need to have one. We just need to make use of one. Not even for very long, just 3 days. 3 days is all I need. The cross. Let me get back to where I was. The cross is a well-known Christian symbol because of what it represents, the perfect sacrifice. And many have been sacrificed for their faith. Okay? Not just Christians, but many other religions have had people that were sacrificed for their faith. If you read through some of the historical books that Josephus wrote and some of these other historians, you read about some of these martyrs that were crucified and how all of the apostles except John were killed for their faith. There's a story about a guy named Polycarp. He was one of the bishops, and he was martyred for his faith, and they put him on a fire and they lit him up and they took note that the fire wasn't even burning him. He was just kind of there. And so they reached in and they pierced him, and the blood ran out and quenched the fire. He died. So a lot of people have been killed for the faith. Many have given their all. But it was the perfect sacrifice that purchased our freedom. And it was the resurrection that proved the power of God to secure that freedom for all of eternity. No other leader of any world religion serves a risen Savior. You know why they don't? Because there is no other. There is no other risen Savior. I want to come up with some sort of symbol to hang around my neck that represents an empty tomb. I just think it would be so cool to have somebody go, what is that? I said, well, that's an empty tomb, because that's what makes it all possible for us, the resurrection. It, you know, I don't know, a little hole in something with a rock in the front. I don't know. I'm working on the design, and when I get it figured out, I'll share it with you and make you some or something. I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to contact Underover Mission and get them to start making them for us or something. But I love the cross, but I really love the empty tomb. I know y'all get sick and tired of hearing me say this, but Rebecca and I were there when we went to Israel. See, what I'm doing is I'm trying to work y'all up to where y'all come and say, when can we go? We want to go. And so I would love to take you back to Israel. But we were there, and we were standing there. Listen, I got to tell you, I got goosebumps on top of goosebumps. The thought that I was standing where our resurrected Lord walked out of that tomb. I just had this picture in my mind, like as if the tomb, you know, was there and the rock was rolled away, and then Jesus stepped out, and I just got this vision in my mind that he went something like, here I am, and then went out and got back to work. I don't know if that's how it happened or not, but that's what I got in my head. That's the gospel according to Mike. Okay, not scripture, it's just the gospel according to Mike. But today we celebrate the resurrection. And it is certainly something to celebrate. Christ won the victory, and he freely gives us the reward of that victory. You see, it's not a fight you have to fight. It's not a battle you have to win. It's already been won. All you have to do is say, I want that. I want that. I recognize my need for that. And I receive that. No cost to you. Doesn't mean it didn't cost. Okay? A lot of people say, well, salvation is free. Yes, it's free to you, but it cost him dearly. It cost him severely. And he was willing to pay it just for you. So So it's not without cost, it's just without cost to you. He paid that cost. He did the work. Do you receive it? Do you receive the gift? Do you appreciate the gift? A lot of people walking around, gift. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Got eternal life to look forward to, yeah. I'll get there when I get there. It'll be good, I guess. I don't know. Do you appreciate really what you have? And maybe one of the reasons we can't truly appreciate what we have is because we can't wrap our mind around what we actually have. But that Christ has secured for us a place in paradise for all of eternity. We can't even grasp our mind around the thought of eternity, much less paradise and being in the presence of the Lord. Do you appreciate the gift? Do you tell the Father, thank you for the gift? Do you, when Brother Haskell prays, I love to listen to him pray, and he is always careful to say, Lord, I thank you for the work you did at the cross and for the resurrection. Do we thank the Lord often for the resurrection? Is it a gift worth sharing with your family and friends? You can't give it. You can't give the gift, but you can certainly tell them how to receive the gift. The gift is free to them too. In the homeless community, there's this unwritten code that if you find a source for food, you go back. You don't get to take all this food back to wherever you're staying with these other homeless people, you know, under the bridge, in the woods, wherever it is. You don't get to take all this food back to them, but you can go back and say, hey, they're giving out food over here. Did you hear? Or over this way, look what they gave me. You can go get you some too. There's this unwritten code that they kind of look out for one another and share that information with each other. We know the source of life. While we cannot give that gift, we can certainly tell others how to receive it, where they can go to get it. Not only do we have an opportunity to share it, we should share it. Matter of fact, Scripture goes a step further and commands us who have received salvation to share the good news. Have you received it? Have you received that gift? If you've received it, are you sharing it? Folks, listen, the resurrection is worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating. And I make no apologies for getting all kind of excited when I talk about the resurrection of my Lord and my Savior. I make no apologies. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm just getting warmed up because I'm going to spend a whole lot of time celebrating that fact. I hope you're with me. I hope you're with me. And if you're not prepared for that, if you've not received the gift that Jesus Christ has already purchased and bought and worked for and has available for you, oh, then you and I need to talk, my friend, because you need to receive that gift. It's the only way. The Bible says that no man comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the doorway. He's the path. He's the key. He's the one that went and snatched the keys of death and hell. Amen. And holds them up, shaking them, going, however spiritually you say, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I don't know, but he's doing that in the devil's face. I've won it. I won it. You can't have it. And those that claim me, you can never have again.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I love this thought, this message today. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the hinge point of our faith. If he had not been raised from the dead, then the power of God was not strong enough to do that. If he's not strong enough to do that, he's not strong enough to secure our eternity either. Oh, but he stamped it. He said, done. when Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, the work for gaining all that was finished. Then God decided to show off. He said, "Now, in case you don't get it, let me just prove to you that I do have the power over life and over death. And I want to give you life. Choose life," the Bible says. Choose life. Have you made that choice? If you've not made that choice, you come see me here in just a moment. We're going to sing a song. You come see me and make that choice. Say, "I choose life. I want Jesus Christ. I understand that He's the only way, and I receive that. I receive the gift that He's given me." Maybe you're here today and you've kind of forgotten that. You kind of moved off from that. Maybe you hasn't been a big part of your life anymore. You've just kind of resigned to yourself to the fact that, well, one of these days, someday down the road, when I die, I guess I'll go to heaven, and that's just what I've got coming to me. But do you realize, folks, we need to be celebrating that every day. And maybe you're guilty of that. Maybe, like I have been from time to time. And maybe you need to refocus your attention and go, "You know what? I need to live my life like as if I've already won the victory, because we have. And we didn't win it, but it was given to us." Maybe you just need to come for prayer. I know that we've had it's been a rough month, last several weeks. Several deaths, lots of sicknesses, accidents, things like that. Maybe you just need to have somebody come and pray over you. And we would love to do that for you too. Whatever your need is, this is your time. I'm going to be standing in the front. My wife is going to come here stand with me. And so Zachary's going to lead us in a song. You sing the song, don't sing the song, whatever you need to do. But this is your time. Let's not walk out of here with unfinished business. Don't walk out of here the same way you walked in. Don't walk out of here resigned to live a mediocre Christian life, hoping that one day it'll all be better. Folks, don't you know that it's a state of mind? And if you celebrate and get all excited about that now, it changes how you live your life. It does. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before You and we say, "Thank You. Thank You for the power of the resurrection. And if You raised Christ from the dead, Lord, that You will raise us also and give us eternal life. Lord, we thank You for that great and awesome gift. May we celebrate You in that fact. And Lord, I pray that if there is somebody here today that cannot honestly and genuinely say, I know where I'm going. I know that I have got eternity secured for me in heaven because of Jesus Christ, that I hope and pray that today would be the day for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." Would you stand as we sing this song?
I hear the Savior sing. Now
It's a good day. It's a great day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And today we're just focusing our rejoicing and our gladness on what Christ has done. Yes, the sacrifice. Yes, the perfect life. Yes, the death on the cross. But it culminated with him just showing off a little bit in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And folks, that is something to celebrate. It is something to celebrate. And I want to remind you one more time, the mission trip, if you're going on that tomorrow, be here at the church 7:30-ish, plan to leave by 8 o'clock. I believe, I'm almost positive that they're going to have lunch provided for you there. And the thought is that we could be there for till whenever y'all decide, but I was thinking, you know, like 4 or 5 o'clock, and then coming home, maybe even stopping and grabbing supper on the way home. The bus will be out here, can take the driver plus 14 people in it, and maybe you want to take your own vehicle or whatever, but it's just over in Conroe. And then Tuesday, again, the same thing. And then I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to be gone having fun for a week, and I'm going to be back in my house and banned from this place, and that's going to be difficult for me. I threatened to go to a costume store and come in like dressed up like Chad Upchurch or something in complete disguise behind a beard and stuff, and I've been told, no, that's not okay. That's deceitful. You can't do that. So I'm not sure what I'll do yet, but I'm going to miss you guys. I'll miss you guys. But today as we leave, I just thought it'd be cool to, instead of having a prayer and walking out in a prayer, let's leave, let's sing a song as our benediction and go from there. I want to read to you this song that I want us to sing. And you're probably, it's probably a very familiar song to many of you. It simply says, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior. Watching the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they sealed the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, our Lord." And then, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain, and he reigns forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." Amen, amen. Thank you. God bless you.